Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the bottom line for Occupy Wall Street is inequality, the concentration of wealth in the top 1%. It's only gotten worse during President Obama's time in office, according to the stats. That's not to say it's his fault, but it's the anger over inequality more than anything else that's bubbling over into the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Everywhere movement around the country and even the world. As the president concludes his three-day bus trip to promote his jobs bill as a means to middle-class revival, with us now is one of President Obama's closest advisors, Valerie Jarrett, senior advisor to the president and assistant to the president for public engagement and intergovernmental affairs. Tonight, she'll be taking questions from the public online at theroot.com in a White House open to the public event. So also with us is Cynthia Gordy, Washington reporter for The Root, who will be moderating the event. Ms. Jarrett and Ms. Gordy, it's great of you to preview the event for us. Welcome to WNYC.
Oh, thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And listeners, again, we're taking your questions via our Facebook and Twitter feeds or on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Ms. Jarrett, do you agree with my framing, and would you say that President Obama does, that Occupy Wall Street is mostly about inequality?
I think there's a great deal of frustration around the country for the reasons that you set forth, is that some people who are doing well are doing very, very well, but a lot of people are suffering, and they've been struggling, and it isn't just the result of the most recent economic downturn that the president inherited. There are people who have been suffering for a very long time, and I think their frustration is really bubbling to the surface.
If we accept statistics like the top 1% used to own 25% of the nation's wealth, now they own 40, or CEOs used to make 40 times the average worker's pay in the 1970s, now they make 1,000 times the average. That comes from Jeffrey Sachs's new book. He'll be on later. In the White House's opinion, is that the result of government policy over the last generation?
I think there are a lot of different reasons, but I think the government has played a role, and one of the reasons why the president was so aggressive in putting forth the Dodd-Frank bill that puts forth a regulatory reform, financial regulatory reform, is because we needed rules of the road to make sure that people are not taking excessive risks that have a devastating impact on everyone else. And so, you know, we live in a capital system, a free market system. Part of the strength of America is our innovation and people's willingness to take risk. But it got out of control, and that risk had this devastating impact around the country. And so that's why the Dodd-Frank bill was so important.
Is that enough, though? Because I imagine people in Zuccotti Park will say, well, okay, Dodd-Frank is something, but it's not the thing that's going to fundamentally reverse the trend toward concentration of wealth in America.
Well, I think that it was one step, and you're right. It was an important step to put in place so that it didn't happen again. But now, as you know, even though we have reversed the devastating trend, when the president first took office, we lost 4 million jobs in the last 6 months of the Bush administration, another 4 million jobs before any of the president's initiatives could really take hold. We've reversed that trend, but our unemployment rate is still far, far too high. And so the president is taking many bold steps to try to help people. And part of what we want to discuss with Cynthia this afternoon is our opportunity report, where we demonstrate all of the many steps that the government has taken to try to help people who want to get into the middle class, who are struggling, who are looking for work, who want the skills necessary in order to compete for the jobs of the future. What are we doing for them? And that's the conversation we're going to have this afternoon.
Cynthia Gordy, Washington reporter for The Root, who will be moderating that event. Why don't you tell us about the event and what you hope to learn?
As Valerie mentioned, when the White House released the Creating Pathways to Opportunity report last week, sort of outlining specifically things that they've done targeted to low-income Americans, we thought it would be a really meaty conversation subject for officials to dig into with everyday people. So we invited our readers at The Root to submit their questions through email, Facebook, and Twitter. And we'll also have a live audience today at 5:30 to be streamed online, where we're going to basically pose those questions to the administration, questions about various things that our readers are struggling with.
You want to give us a preview and ask Ms. Jarrett anything you want to right now? I don't need to hog all the question asking here.
No, I kind of want to save it for the event. What I can say is that our readers really had a lot of questions about things that they're they want to know about opportunities that are available to them now,
right,
and what actions the administration is taking now, and that ranges from discriminatory hiring practices, support for the very long-term unemployed, or the 99ers, who are often forgotten in policy discussions, and also difficulties with mortgage modification process, job training. I mean, it's all connected, right? Jobs,
well,
and healthcare and education.
Well, let me take a stab at something, Ms. Jarrett, based on things I've been reading on The Root that I think a lot of their readers are going to be interested in, because one theme, I believe, will be how good a president Mr. Obama has been for African Americans. So what would you say is the legacy so far of the first black president for other black Americans?
Well, I think it's a very bold legacy that he'll have. If you just take one issue, let's take a look at the Affordable Care Act. We have 8 to 9 million African Americans who have health insurance as a result of that important act. How important is health insurance? It's vitally important. How important is it that people who have pre-existing conditions will be able to not be discriminated against insurance companies? How important is it to make sure that mothers who are pregnant can go in for routine checkups and make sure that they have the kind of prenatal care that they need to deliver healthy babies without having to come out of pocket? That's just one thing that the president has done. He's fighting, as you know, right now for the affordable, the American Jobs Act. And as Cynthia mentioned, many of the issues that are important to the Roots readership and their audiences, what are we doing to provide for jobs right now? What are we doing to help the long-term unemployed? And if you look at the provisions of the American Jobs Act, they are designed specifically to create jobs right now. One example, there's an incentive for employers to hire the long-term unemployed. If you've been out of work for 6 months or longer, there's an average of $4,000 available to employers who hire you, as well as using TANF funds in a more flexible way to make sure that those who have been unemployed for so long develop the skills that they need to get back to work. Extending unemployment insurance, something the president fought for so hard at the end of last year, that's going to come up again. We need to extend that unemployment insurance again. Making sure that construction jobs are available. How do we do that? Through infrastructure, whether that's our roads, bridges, public transit, schools. All of that is in the American Jobs Act. So I think that the advantage of this report that we're going to talk about much more later today with Cynthia is it pulls together all of what the president has done so far to help people who are struggling the most, puts it all in one place. One challenge we have is making sure that people know what resources are even available to them. This report will provide a guide for everyone to see.
Valerie Jarrett, White House Senior Advisor, and Cynthia Gordy, Washington reporter for The Root, my guests on WNYC. The jobs bill, Ms. Jarrett, it was defeated as a package deal in the Senate, and I've read that the next plan is to try and pass components of it separately, and that the first might be $35 billion in aid to state and local governments. We have a question from a listener, Jenna from Hamilton Heights, who asks on our site, will the American Jobs Act be as effective if it's cut up and only implemented in pieces?
It can be, and it's a really good question. And the point I want to make here is that the president is going to take each piece of the Jobs Act, and he's going to ask Congress to vote on each piece. And you're absolutely right. What's up today are teachers and firefighters and police, first responders. And the question that the president is putting to the Republicans in Congress is, why would you not support, at this time when state and local governments are so strapped, why would you not support dollars for teachers and first responders? Our children deserve those teachers. all across the country, we are seeing layoffs in the public sector, and those are teachers and firefighters. There's enough money in this bill to fund 280,000 teachers. That's vitally important. And so the president's going to say, piece by piece, stand up and explain why you would say we should preserve tax breaks for the very wealthy, but we shouldn't fund our nation's schools.
So,
and each piece, we're going to bring it up week after week after week, and we're not going to give up until we voted on every single element of this bill.
Cynthia, I see that you have an article on the route today called What Has Obama Done for Poor People? Is there a widespread feeling among poverty experts that he's done well at some areas and not well at others?
I think in talking to the experts for that article, I think there was a lot of recognition that the administration has, in fact, you know, had the poor on its radar and commended their efforts. But I think in each piece of, you know, that I break down in that article, health care, safety net provisions, housing, there's also some concern that the efforts may not be robust enough or on scale to alleviate a problem that's so entrenched. I think that another issue is that some people don't really know that a lot of these things happen because these things are happening because there's often a lot of language around the middle class. And so when you're not talking about poor people directly, even if they are being addressed through legislation, the impression is often that they're not being looked at and they're not being heard.
Ms. Jarrett, another question from our listeners. Tim from Hillsborough, New Jersey asks, why can't Obama require that big companies getting tax breaks hire American workers?
Well, first of all, it would require legislation. And in this Congress, that's probably not something that would get passed. But I will say this. I will say that we need an effort to foster a climate where companies want to expand and grow. Domestic companies, U.S. companies, as well as foreign companies who want to create jobs here in America. And the president has many robust initiatives to try to create this environment where companies will invest and they'll grow. And what we have to do is make sure also that our workforce is prepared for those jobs. And a big part of the president's agenda, Race for the Top, other ways that he's improving our educational system, providing for Pell Grants so that people have the funding that they need to be able to afford college to prepare them for those jobs of the future. So I think what we have to do is work with the business community to create incentives for them to want to hire. Again, a reminder of the American Jobs Act, there are incentives in there for business. We're cutting the payroll tax in half so that small businesses can grow. The economic engine in our country and definitely in the African-American community are small businesses. So we're going to give them a break cutting their payroll tax in half. Every working American will also get a tax break in the payroll so that they'll pay only half of the amount of their payroll tax as well.
We just have a minute left. Some of the anger of Occupy Wall Street is over the president's appointment of people like Tim Geithner and Larry Summers, too close to the Wall Street anything-goes mindset. Is that leaving many people who should be core supporters of the president feeling lukewarm about him? What would you say to those folks who should be core supporters but are like, you appointed Geithner, Summers, he's too close to Wall Street?
Well, I disagree with the underlying premise that Secretary Geithner and Larry Summers are too close to Wall Street. They were extremely exacting in promoting the federal regulatory reform that went through Congress. Those two individuals worked aggressively fighting against, I might add, huge amounts of money that lobbyists on Wall Street spent to try to keep that bill from being passed. And those two were quite vigilant in making sure that it did pass. And so I disagree with the underlying premise and appreciate the opportunity to say how tough they have been in making sure that the rules of the road are in place so that we don't have the kind of excessive risk-taking that got us into this mess to begin with.
We are out of time, except Cynthia Gormley from The Root. If you want to tell people one more time how they can go to part two of this conversation when it actually takes place on your website at 5:30 this afternoon.
Sure. Please, you can visit theroot.com or whitehouse.gov, and you can also ask questions live on Twitter under the hashtag TheRootWH.
That's The Root, and then WH for White House. And on Facebook, I gather people can just go to facebook.com/theroot for that event with Senior White House Advisor Valerie Jarrett and another Senior White House Advisor, Melanie Barnes, at 5:30 this afternoon, to be moderated by Cynthia Gordy, Washington reporter for The Root, who has joined us as well as Ms. Jarrett today. Thank you both so much. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. See you later, Cynthia.
Bye. See you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we have Jeffrey Sachs, who's got a lot to say about the economy and Occupy Wall Street, and Oliver Sachs, who's got a lot to say about your brain. Stay with us.